Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8 o'clock Greenwich Mean Time. Today is January 22nd. Well, today we've had quite a lot of earnings reports and a lot of them have disappointed, but there have been some notable exceptions. I suppose the most important of those has been Apple, which was testing the lower side of its range and bounced spectacularly today, which is putting at least a short-term floor under that market and makes the possibility of a test of the upper side of the range that much more likely. eBay was another one that hit the headlines because it beat, as far as I know, beat expectations for the earnings just released, but the forecasts that it came out with are disappointing, and the share fell somewhat today and is now testing the lower side, or testing the lows that we saw, I think, back in October or November, if my memory serves correctly. IBM was another one which performed spectacularly well yesterday, held on to the majority of its gains today. There's a progression of higher lows there from the October lows, and it's testing the upper side of its range. And a downward dynamic would be needed to question potential for this to push upwards out of this range at this juncture, because that really was a very impressive upward dynamic that we saw yesterday. So there is a lot of activity occurring in markets right now. Today was also a day where we had some rather negative housing news. I don't think anyone was particularly surprised, but new home starts were at record lows. I think they've been keeping those data for an excess of 50 years. So that was relatively bearish on the housing front, and foreclosures continue, although not at their peak rate, they're still very, very high. And the arguments between the bullish and bearish camps are relatively evenly matched. We continue to see that the Dow and the S&P are flirting with the respective 8,000 and 800 levels. Upward dynamics that are sustained beyond a couple of days are needed to offset potential for these markets to break further on the downside. Of course, people are looking at them, testing the lows here, and saying, well, there's a good chance that they're going to break downwards. And at the upper side of the range, people are asking the other question. Because when we see markets testing the upper or lower sides of their ranges, then the arguments become more weighted towards whichever side of the range it's testing. And because we haven't had any conclusive breaks to the upside or indeed the downside, people will remain very, very cautious of markets. And there is such an unbelievably high amount of uncertainty in the markets that most people are willing to just sit on the sidelines and wait it out. But there is also the important move that we had in treasuries today. They had a very weak close yesterday. They were down in excess of 2 points earlier on today. They've rallied off those lows, but they're flirting with the 130 level. That high up there now around 138 is a lower high compared with the one that was up around 142. And this market looks like it can come lower, although looking slightly overextended in here at the moment. Best sold following these small rallies that we've seen, and the volatility is likely to remain high, so there will remain plenty of opportunity in all likelihood to short this market if investors so wish. But if we have government bond prices coming down and some very cogent arguments being made for why they can't come down, we have to rely on the chart action. The charts will lead us, and they do point towards government bond prices coming lower. The same can be said of gilts. It was US Treasuries led the move on the upside. They're now leading on the downside. Gilts are quickly following. Bunds are not nearly as weak. JGBs are testing the upper side of their range. No downward dynamic there. And the Australian government bond has lost a bit of momentum on the upside, has become really quite overextended in the move that it's had recently. And there is potential for all three of these ones that are currently showing relative strength to follow the lead that we are getting from treasuries and gilts. So this will be an interesting area to watch over the coming weeks to see if the commonality factor spreads through to the other government bond markets. There were a number of questions in the last few days about earnings, and there's just one piece of a paragraph that I see on Bloomberg, which I thought I would read to you. It's US analysts now forecast a 28% drop in profits for the fourth quarter after saying in March 2008 that earnings would rise as much as 55%. So this is an indication that analysts are beginning to get in line with the curve, that they are coming out with increasingly bearish forecasts for corporate profits. I don't think there's anyone realistically expects corporate profits in general, while of course there are going to be some noted exceptions, for example Apple, but the majority of people are going to expect that corporate profits are going to be lower in the fourth quarter and the first quarter than they would have expected this time last year. What we need to watch out for is when analyst recommendations or earnings estimates get even more bearish, but stocks are no longer making new lows or potentially even breaking up out of ranging phases. That is going to be a very clear indication that the analytical community has discounted far more bad news than there actually is, and the chart action is quite likely to lead the earnings estimates on the upside. This was also an interesting day in the oil market. We saw that it gave up about $3 of its advance yesterday, but pegged the whole thing back and is currently only down 70 cents. So following that very good upward dynamic we saw earlier in the week, it's held on to the majority of the gains and looking relatively firm in here. Natural gas was also down to 4.48 earlier on in the day and is currently only down 12 cents at 4.65. So quite a lot of volatility continuing to come through in the energy markets. It continues to look as if oil is in the early stages of a base formation development. That suggests that we can expect further severe volatility, that there is a strong likelihood that rallies that break on the upside are unlikely to be sustained, but we can probably rely on a good chance that there will be a progression of higher lows, because investors will slowly get the idea that this market is likely to find support as it comes down and tests its lows. So everything to play for in the energy markets. Gold was also quite steady in here today, up $5 on the day, so quite quiet. Silver also quite quiet. The platinum market continues to hover around this 950 area, was up to 940 earlier on today, is currently around 935, holding on to the gains that it put in from Boxing Day or St. Stephen's Day very, very well. Continuing to consolidate below this $1,000 level, psychologically that's important for a lot of investors, and if it can sustain a move above that area, there are, I think, going to be people looking to jump on the bandwagon of a potential momentum trade. But for the moment, consolidating in the current region. Looking at the way the dollar is performing, it obviously had a very good day a couple of days ago, held on to that move yesterday, down slightly in here today, but still over 85, and still within that top formation range that peaked in December. Relative strength in terms of its performance to other currencies, and still steady within this uptrend that it has been for the last few weeks. A downward dynamic really would be needed to cap this advance, even though it is looking quite overextended and in an potential area of resistance in between this 85 and 88 level. We do need to see that downward dynamic to tell us that it has encountered resistance in this area, and it is for the bears to prove following this quite strong rally that we've seen, which, as I said, has become increasingly overextended. And I suppose just one other thing is that China, which continues to show the best base formation characteristics in global stock markets, had a very good day earlier this week, has sustained that move throughout the rest of this week, and remains quite strong. We continue to see quite severe contraction in the Chinese market, and I think the Chinese economy grew by 6.8% in the fourth quarter, annualized. So that is the slowest growth that we've seen in quite a long time. There is likely to be a gap between how long it takes for the massive stimulus package that the Chinese are putting in place and when that takes effect. Just anecdotally, Mrs. Tracy was on the phone with a friend of hers in Beijing, and she said that she was thinking of making an investment in China. And the person's reaction was, "What? Are you mad? You must be crazy to buy anything this year." So that is an indication of where sentiment is in relation to Chinese markets. And given the fact that markets have been going sideways for nearly 6 months, and the fact that it does have those good base formation characteristics, and that the sentiment toward the market in China is that bearish, that is to me an indication, at least, that the base formation hypothesis is the correct one. But the charts will tell us, and we do need to see a break above the range highs that is sustained beyond the very short term to indicate to us that China is a strong recovery candidate. And with that thought, I will leave you for the evening, but thank you very much for your time.